Good morning, CTK. Good morning. Wow, it's always awesome to be here, be back. It's just always exciting. First of all, I want to definitely share a time of thanks for Pastor Craig, the entire CTK family, especially in their involvement this Friday. How many of you were part, either visited, went to the crusade, or were part of a volunteer group? Yeah, many of you. Could you guys give those guys a hand of applause? I mean, it was amazing. There's no words to describe. Once I start seeing at the end the people filtering down when they did the altar call. The number so far is about 500, and that was amazing. And please remember that the fire marshal shut down, the altar and the size for people coming into the Coliseum at one point. It's so many people. So I want to thank you again. That was amazing. Again, of the unity is that fantastic display of God's deliverance and manifestation of His goodness and His love for us. And that's what that means. Okay. I also wanted to. It's always a joy to be back here. Invited, like he says, we started here. I think I've been coming almost year after year for 15 years now. And you guys definitely are placed in our heart and our prayers. And I know you got the same thing for our church. A community that staying strong, stays united, is just pays dividend. The return of investment is unequal, like no other. And this is it. And this is the part that we love the most. And as you heard, is we're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. Usually it displays by a month, and it starts on 15 September to 15 October. And I don't know about the facts, but do you know why we celebrate that? Why the particular dates? Well, I'm going to tell you. Usually on the 15 September to 15 October, these dates commemorate a lot of the Latin Central American countries' independence. For instance, we celebrate Costa Rica. On the 15th September, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, in addition to Mexico and Chile, that they do it in the 16th September and the 18th. So that's why we celebrate. We try to take most of these countries, right, and this month, and then we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. It's always been part. We do a lot of things in the community that comes, especially when it comes to food. We're driving up ourselves next month to have something Latino kind of food festival in our church, and we invite the community to come and get a chance to taste so many of the typical foods. Believe me, I've tried to go so many times on diet. I've struggled so much. That Weight Watchers app is blown out. Every time I try, they bring me one of those nice little, and I got to tell you this, one time they told me about this, Peru gave me this piece of pie or cake. And I had no idea. I was delicious. A pastor from Peru brought me his flag and that pastry. And it was so delicious. And I'm texting him. I'm saying, thank you so much. This was awesome. I love it. Could you tell me what the name is? And he responded back. He already was in Peru. And he starts telling me, thank you for the invitation. I enjoy the service. Then he finishes with King Kong. Why is he putting a... I'm trying to struggle. Well, why is he talking to me about this gorilla, this movie? But I go back. No, thank you. And it's perfect. And it's beautiful. And man, we wish you when you come back to please. And he goes back to, Dan. No, thank you. It was awesome. I'm surely got it in my calendar. And I pray for you guys. And yeah, King Kong. Because I asked you to realize months later, I'm talking to somebody in Peru. It says, man, and I'm telling you the same story. And I say King Kong, and that was, he says, Pastor, that's the name of the cake. It's called King Kong. And I didn't grasp it. I thought he was telling me a movie. I said, why? And I'm not translating this right, but I thought that was pretty funny. But usually that's what we do. I'm also I'm a history buff, and I like history. And of course, I would rather spend every minute of every day talking about the intricacies of the Bible and how to connect and how beautiful the word comes to life. But I wanted to share a personal testimony this morning, because I think it's going to make when I when I talk about the verses, the next Bible verses, how that influenced my life, right? Coming here to and I migrated from Puerto Rico. My parents before that migrated to New York, so that's awesome. And it has a really enriched part of history, especially thinking about Hispanic Heritage Month, of something that really happened to me. But I got to tell you this. I'm very deeply grateful for individuals, especially in the church community, that have invested in us, especially Puerto Nuevo, myself, advice, such as Pastor Greg, that's always been there for these last 15 years without missing a beat. And support and guidance has always been vital, crucial for us. And especially, again, this walk in Christ. I am deeply appreciative of that, and I know together we will continue to grow in faith and love. So I want you to, today's Bible verse is found in the book of Mark, chapter 2, and we're going to read the verses 2 through 5. Mark 2, and again, verses 2 to 5. And this is when Jesus heals the paralytic man. And the word of the Lord says, "And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered, so there was no more room, not even at the door. And when he was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic man lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" Amen. Now, I want you to hold on to that verse. We're gonna come back to it. I want you to fold the page, put a little sticky note, your pens. And like I said, I want to tell them, I spent some time in the military, and I think some of you that I know that have been here and know me, spent almost 2 decades. I retired about 23 and a half, after 23 and a half years. When we were looking for a church, my wife, I remember from Iraq, telling her, you know, I remember going to South Tryon and I saw a Spanish sign. Please, I think there's a Spanish church. Take the kids, go with yourselves. And of course, I usually leave for about a year's time frame. And that's what it is. I was Christ the King back in there, Cristo Rey, the trailer. And that started our journey. Okay. Now it started here in North Carolina, Charlotte, but surely it came out for a lot longer than that. And I'm gonna share a little bit of those pieces today. And like I said, I initiated my walk in Christ, and again, I'm always thankful of all the people throughout my journey that invested in me, again, and those friends that teached me, right, taught me the Bible, showed me what, you know, when I had no clue or really wasn't, you know, interested as much, somebody invested in that, really took the time to and poured on to me to what I am today, and again, I'm grateful. Now, in my military years, of course, if you just can't go by any other week or month or year without touching on some sort of military history. They teach us a lot about it, and you get an overwhelming in-depth about a lot of things. So I want to share something that I know for something. Usually somebody laid the groundwork for what we are today. And for me, that was it. In those days, I got to tell you, that in the early years, I'm not sure if you are, anybody ever been to Fort Sumter? Fort Sumter in South Carolina, taking a trip. You know, it's an old Civil War fort, and it's awesome. If you go into the library, I don't know how many of you noticed, I purchased this one a couple years back, but it says Hispanics in the Civil War. And I was like, what? We already had an issue before. It's Hispanics in the Civil War. And if you read this book, it's fascinating. It says over 20,000 Hispanics served in the Civil War. Listen to this, on both sides. And I was blown away. I was like, that is so cool. So it's a good read. I'm not sure. I think it has an ISBN number you can reach, but it has a lot of enriched history and facts that I love. It has like the first Cuban that was a spy, and then it later because it was a female dressed as a male and spy for both. It's awesome to read all those stories in there. But I want to tell you something. I have sort of similar story. When I got to the academy, almost at my end of my years, they told me I had to teach something, historical fact about something that I cherish or that I love. And something caught my attention. I didn't know this again until I was in the military, that in my street, in my hometown, there is a street called 65th Infantry Regiment. And I had no clue for all those years that I lived there. Why would they? why was there a name of a regiment, of some sort of military thing? And then I didn't realize again until it was an army and reading history and stuff what it actually meant. And let me tell you what it meant. This was an all unit in those days, a little bit before the Korean War. They were called the Barrinconeers. And in those years, believe it or not, we were segregated too. And I'm from Puerto Rico, so they weren't allowed to serve in war. They weren't allowed to serve in combat. They just did, the typical normal day. And those years, they took two units, and they used this for anything. And then this was in San Juan, Puerto Rico. They picked two units of the United States, the best ones that they had at that time, a lot of history and a lot of combat experience. One was called the 82nd, and the other one was the 3rd Infantry Division. They're still in existence today, if you guys know. Fort Bragg, now Fort Liberty, actually holds the 82nd Airborne Division. They've been there for over 100 years. So that unit with the 3rd Infantry, they actually take them, and they put them in Puerto Rico to fight against these little these little small guys that spoke Spanish. They hardly ever speak English. They had no idea who. But something happened. It was pivotal for the war, especially for that regiment in those days. They took them thinking that they were going to just, as a much experience that these both units had from the U.S., that they were just going to beat them just like that, and it was over. And it was all the way around. They were actually beat by that Barrinconeers, that 65th Infantry Regiment, that caught the attention of Washington. And they said, oh, hold on. They did what? In record time, what? Oh, no. And that's how they became involved into the war. And let me tell you, if you read the history, they were the most gallantly unit in the Korean War. They were pivotal for what all the wins, and I know there was a lot of losses, but they were instrumental. One of those, I always has a story, after he passed away, my uncle, and I have no idea, my cousin calls me. He says, our uncle passed away, or his father. He said, Pastor, and we found a suitcase, and it has a lot of awards, and there's this medal that it's very nice package. And I said, send me a picture of it, and let me look at it. And for my surprise, it was the Silver Star. Now, for those that, again, the Silver Star is like one medal right below the Medal of Honor. So he had to have done something like extremely, because it could have tilted whatever he had done in order to win that. But I was so surprised. And the actually thing that it read was that it was a landmine, and his unit got caught, and he ran through the landmine in order to save the lives and bring him back to safety. And he won the Silver Star. And not even his kids knew that. I didn't know that. None of the family did that. And again, that was just awesome. But there's one thing that I could get out of that. Sorry, he says, they laid down the groundwork for me. Somebody laid down the groundwork for me. And that's what I'm more appreciative. See, throughout my times in the Army, I actually had the opportunity, and that's how I got to North Carolina. I went to Desert Shield, Desert Storm in 1991. And I was at Fort Bragg. That's where I landed up. And then the last one of my units, I went to Iraq, and right before I retired, and I moved here to Charlotte. So the first war and the last war, and again, what has the meaning of those two is that actually the first one was Fort Bragg, and the last one, which was the 82nd Airborne Division, and the last one was the 3rd Infantry Division. These were the same two units, get it? The same two units that the opposing forces, the Brigadiers, actually beat. Here I am now, many, as a leader, because I was in the last of the academy, military academy. They don't send too many people, just the ones that they, you know, made it to the top of the echelon and rank. And I'm serving now on those two units as a leader. And I said, that's amazing, because knowing the history of somebody laid the groundwork for me to be there. Now, this is going to tie up to exactly the Bible. I know you're like, okay, this is like, wait. But I'm going to get there. Because let me go back to the Bible verse of the story of those four friends who carried that paralytic man to Jesus. And they were able, again, listen, you remember, they were able to open the crowd, right? Climb the walls, break down the roof, and lay down that paralytic man, bringing him to Jesus. And at one time, you know, I'm saying, this is so awesome. And throughout the history, the trajectory where I'm at today, it almost again didn't happen. Because right about when I was in the 2-3 years of my enlistment, I was like, hey, I don't want to, I'm working too hard. You know, I was a kid, I was young, you know, everybody playing games. I was like, and I was already married, Roses. I'm working 12-hour shifts, 12 hours off. I felt that I only worked and or I only lived to work. And I would show up to work in 12 hours and sleep for 12 hours, ready to get back on the show. I said, this is not for me. I'm ready to go. I told my wife, Rose, I said, baby, we could make it back home. We'll get to do something. And there was a young man that stood close to me one day listening to me, and he says, don't do it. Don't get out. But do something exciting. I was like, yeah, what is that? He says, that about jump out of airplanes? Okay. Wow, I don't think you can get more excited than that. I said, yeah, man, just do it. Do it. But I just want to change career. I just want to do something more. I like working with my hands. I can't this office work, this desk. No. He says, I'm telling you, just. So I follow his advice. And I said, okay, I'm going to go for it. I'm gonna go. And my reenlistment officer comes and he says, man, what do you want to do? It's time for you to do something. You know, you're going to stay? You're going to leave? I said, I want to stay. But I want you to change my job. I want you to, I don't care about the job, because in those days, it was like a special assignment if you went to Airborne or Air Assault, one of those. And I said, I want you to go ahead and do, you know, give me a job. He says, what is it? I said, I want to jump out of airplanes. He looked at me like I was crazy. He says, well, you want to do what? Nobody asked for that. So, well, I'm asking for it. Come on, can you do that? He says, let me see what I could do. 2 weeks later, he comes running in. He says, I got you. What do you want? And I had no idea. He told me, and the job is, I said, I don't care about the job. I just want to jump out. Did you get that? He says, it's in your contract. Just go ahead, sign right here. And that's what happened. Now, in the same place where I'm enlisting and all this is happening, it was a base called Devens, Fort Devens. And it's in Massachusetts. Anybody from Massachusetts? So I was actually in the first service. Somebody came close to me and said, I know exactly where it's at. I was just there 2 weeks ago. That was the first time that I've been back since that time. Again, we're talking about close to 40 years ago that I went back to that base. And that's when the first time a couple called my wife and me and sat us in this little small house. It was townhomes. It was military bases, and opened up the Bible for the first time and laid out and showed me Jesus. And took so much time to explain to me Bible verses and how the Bible was. And that was awesome. Same place where I got advice. And again, almost none of this happened if I would have made the decision. And I knew that point now, thinking about that, reflecting on it, is that God had a plan for me. And God has a plan for all of us. And that's the significant and what it means. Now, check this out. There's things, and I want you to, there's another Bible verse, and I think we have it. It's in Mark chapter 8, verse 27 and 30. And now, this is the one that the people bring a blind man to Jesus. And we're going to look, I think, yes, right there. And it says, Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked the disciple, who do I people? And I think that's, oh, it's the next one. I'm sorry. But it's the one of the blind man that they bring to Jesus in Bethsaida. And when he asks them, he brings the blind man, and he tells them, hey, could you heal him? Could you put your hands on him? And this is so, did that blind man got healed right there and then? Anybody remember this story? He didn't. Actually, he says the blind man to Jesus, and Jesus took him apart, took him away from the crowd, and touched him, and said, listen, and it's going to show us, and we're going to get back to that, but Jesus touched him almost three times before he was healed. Three times, it talks about. Now, the reason I'm doing this is so we don't miss out, because I want you to, I love the Bible, and it's like a treasure hunt for me every single time I read it. I take things that are sort of like out of place. Like, for instance, he says, oh, did you guys get the first Bible verse that we were reading? At the end of verse 5, it says what? It says, son, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that odd? Who were we talking about? A paralytic man. I'm not here for sins, right? If you think about it, it wasn't sins that I want to get healed. So why did it say, I am healed? Or was it, it didn't happen instantly? But he says, your sons, your sins are forgiven. I want to tell you a story. The Jewish custom back in those days thought that if you had a sickness, it was because of sin, or between, or you or your parents. That was the Jewish custom. They thought, now listen to this, because I gave you those two stories. The first one was blind, and the other one was a paralytic man. How was the redemption of sins back in those days? How were sins were forgiven? Who's that? Sacrifice. You needed a sacrifice. You would take your lamb, you would take your goat, you would take your pigeons to the temple to get sacrifice. And that sacrifice would almost lead you to 1 year of repentance of your sins. Now listen to this. So when Jesus says, now something that they couldn't do, right? If I was paralyzed and I was blind, that means I can't take the Holocaust to the temple. I couldn't do it, right? So that's why Jesus, check this out. This is amazing. That's why Jesus comes and says, your sins are forgiven. Because most likely in that person, in his heart, he had what? He had guilt that he couldn't go to the temple to make the sacrifices like it had taught them through the law. That weighed heavily on those persons. That they couldn't walk to the temple, that they couldn't make a sense. Here, we got to want that paralytic that had four friends that would carry him around. And that's amazing to me. When that was, I says, oh, wow, Jesus, this is awesome. This is awesome. So what did Jesus do? He started healing the person from the inside out. Because that just drew on that person that, man, I'm sick because of sin. Something I probably did, something my parents did. And I bring you to that because, our mission statement is what? Find freedom. Most people won't serve because they think they have something that's a burden to serve. I hear that so many, oh, pastor, you don't want me to serve. How many of you are, man, I don't come to church because the walls will fall down. I said, they didn't fall down when I when I came in. And I thought I had so much, I would have gone a 3-mile radius, everything would have fallen down. Target, hospital. Yeah. So I was like, no. And that is finding freedom. When I learned, I was like, oh.
And that's the time of if you look at it, who brought the blind man to Jesus? Who? His friends. Who brought the paralytic man to Jesus? His friends. So what do we do? What is it teaching us? That we need to bring the people to Jesus, us. You know, sometimes I said, it's awesome as a pastor said, oh, pastor, man, you saw how many people were in the service? Wow. We were moving chairs around. We were probably pulling them from some other places, people standing up. And he said, that's nice. I like that. But you know what makes my world go round? It's those empty seats. That's my motivation point every day. And I challenge myself because when it does get full, we buy more. But we are here in existence, and our great commission is to bring people to Christ, and this is it. And just like they brought it, there might be people that need healing. Look at the part of the blind man. What did they do? They brought him to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm not going to do it your way. How many times we pray, Jesus, I need, I want, and then we try to dictate how Jesus should do things, huh? That's what they did. They brought the blind and said, hey, Jesus, put your hands on him. And did he do that? No, he put his hands in and took them apart, took them away. Then he did something amazing. What did he do? He spit on him. Isn't that amazing? He spit in his eyes to see. Do you ever guys get the spit part? One time somebody came, a friend of mine's on the Christmas, he brought me a kit. It was from a company, I think it was called Ancestry, ancestry.com. You guys heard it? There's another one that kind of gets you to see your genetics and stuff. And somebody gave my wife and that for a Christmas gift, and I looked at it and it says, well, in order to activate it, you got spit in the poop. So I'm spitting inside of this little vial to put it in a Ziploc bag and send it back, and they would tell you sort of your descendants and lineage and stuff like that. And God gave me an aha God moment from that time. When I was trying to figure out the spit part, why would Jesus spit on the eyes of the blind? That was amazing. You guys want to know? What's in the spit? What is it? DNA. It's your whole sequence, genome sequence of who you are. It tells it your eyebrows, your eyes, your nails. It tells you absolute everything. If you take your DNA to the point of a pencil and you stretch it, it could go from Earth to the moon. And so much data and so much information. Now Jesus spits in his eye. Why did he spit on his eye? Because that was the only DNA perfect. That whatever that man was missing, did you get it? Whatever he was missing, who formed us? Who created us in the book of Genesis? Oh, now you get it. He was the only one, if that blind man was born without something, the only one that could have attached it was who? The creator of mankind. Jesus, the Messiah. Wow. When Jesus taught me that, I was jumping up and down from a little kid candy store. I said, thank you so much for. And those are treasure hunts. Those are the things teach us. And the part of the healing, when he comes and heals, how many times did he have to heal the blind? How many touches to the blind man? Three times. He touched them three times. He took them away. He grabbed them. He didn't listen. Then he touched him. It touched him again and says, do you see? And he said, not really. I see kind of tall figures like a tree. And then he does what again? He touches him again. What does it teach us? Sometimes some healings are gradual. Sometimes they're not immediate. The ones like the woman that discharged blood for 12 years, all she had to do was stretch her hands and touch the hem of the Messiah. The hem. And Jesus stopped and says, I felt power leave from me. And she was healed. But here he had to touch him 3 times. I don't know how many, sometimes I talk to, and I've counseled people with addictions, alcohol. How many times do you think they have to? There's some great ones that I've heard that it's very, one touch, but usually they gradually have to attend AA meetings in order to calm. That's it. Those are touching moments. Those are gradually healing moments from the Lord. Not all of them are immediate. And again, the reason I'm telling us and the moral of the story is this again, is we need to bring people to Christ. We need to invite us. It's our mission. It was given to us to bring, they might be hurt. But rest assured that whatever that healing is, either gradually or instantly, in order for them to serve and to find that freedom, that's not our part. That's a God moment and God part. Our deal is to only bring them to Jesus. Amen. That is it. And those are the awesome treasures. And again, you know, these stories are intended to encourage you, to motivate you, to bring people to Christ. Sometimes we could be, it could be an obstacle from us. It could be a yoke from us. We may be enslaved to something that we're not serving. But rest assured, pray. God listens. Listen, people, God listens. He's listening. Give it to him. Give it to him. You know, one of the guys, I love, Nathaniel and Philip were like after finding Andrew, the first disciples, you know, they asked him, Philip runs and says, Nathaniel, I found the living Christ. I found the Messiah. You remember what Nathaniel said? Where's he from? Who is he? Said Jesus from Nazareth. What? What good comes from Nazareth? What good comes from Nazareth? There was prejudice. That was a wall. Contrary to when Jesus sees you. When he saw Nathanael for the first time, he said, man, that's a true Israelite right there if I ever saw one. Jesus saw him for what he was worth. Jesus saw him for what he sees you for what you're worth. He knows your heart. But we need to come. We need to invite. We need to invite. We need to invest. And we need to intercede. Continue. That's such the pillars of. If there's any more time, it's this one. If any more than there are community, there are country needs it, it's now. Now. That God is depending on us. It's depending on all of us. It's depending on all of us. Do you know how wells were opened in the Old Testament? Wells, water wells. Every time Abraham had an encounter with God, that he would either talk or God would come down. Right there, Abraham will open up a well or lift up an altar. That's how you navigate. You know the reason I was in the desert, and I would go miles and miles, and I eventually that job was flying, and I would go miles and miles and miles, and I couldn't figure out anybody get lost here, they'll never find them. I go to sand, there was no man-made objects, it's just pure sand. How do people move around here? And all of a sudden you would see little Bedouins put a tent up. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I could live too much without a Target or something to eat. And these guys are out in the middle of nowhere. You know how they navigate? You know what's the GPS system in those days? Those wells. They already knew from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. What are those wells in our community today? Because you're sitting on one. We bring people here because they're thirsty. They're out there lost. But this is their focal point. This is their true north right here. You're looking at it. You're sitting in it. We're witnessing it. Somebody probably point you to the direction. Probably somebody talk to you about Jesus Christ. This is it. Amen? Let us pray. I'll speak, pray in Spanish if you don't mind. Amantísimo Padre, venimos delante de ti. Te damos gracias, Señor, en esta hermosa tarde, Señor. Gracias por este tiempo. Gracias por tu palabra, Señor. Porque tú has sido digno y bueno, Señor. Enseñarnos algo así tan enriquecido, Señor. Tanto valor, Señor, Padre, que es la salvación más valiosa, Señor, que todo el oro, toda la plata del mundo, Señor. Padre, que nosotros podamos tener este mensaje como semilla, Señor, que caiga como en este terreno fértil, esta tierra fértil que somos nosotros, Señor. Y que ahí, Señor, Padre, emprenda, eche raíces profundas y que dé frutos y frutos en abundancia. Te damos gracias otra vez más, Señor Padre, por CTK, porque tú lo has plantado, Señor, así como este pozo. Que nosotros, Señor, como este faro de luz, Señor Padre, donde las personas puedan venir, Señor. Que nos dé el coraje y la valentía de invitar a personas, Señor. La sanidad la traes tú, Señor. Sea gradual, sea inmediata, Señor. Pero que traigamos, sigamos trayendo a las personas, Señor, a los pies de la cruz. Es lo que pedimos, Señor. Danos esa sabiduría y ese conocimiento, Señor. Por todos los tiempos, Señor, tú serás Jehová. La palabra dice: ¿quién es el que fue, quién es y quién ha de venir? Y todo se llena el blanco, se llama Jesús. Gracias, Señor, te damos. En el nombre de tu Hijo amado Jesús. Y sellado, Señor, en este perfecto Dios creado por ti, Señor. En el nombre del Padre, el Hijo y el Espíritu Santo. El pueblo de Dios dice: amén.